Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Have you with us on this Wednesday? Bob Flounders, PennLive.com, Patriot News on today. You're going to love Friday's show. Craig Meyer, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Jim Brandstetter, play-by-play voice of Michigan football. John Bacon, the great author. Jack Ham, all on Friday's show.
Hammer.
He did tell me that if you call him that one more time, there will be a lawsuit.
Yeah, but I mean in a good way. I mean, you know, he was a linebacker. It was a great nickname for him.
Dobroshunka to you.
It's a what?
Dobroshunka. Polish for good ham. Come on.
That's a new one to me.
It's the sign they hung at Three Rivers Stadium.
Oh, see, I don't remember that.
You're the guy that goes out and professes to be the all-knowing fan. And when we finally get into the wheelhouse of your team, you don't even know who the guys are.
In my defense, I was extremely young when he was playing.
Sorry, but this is a sad moment for
you. I would not tell him that, but...
Oh, no, I will tell him that, as a matter of fact. It's awful. All right.
I once met Greg Luzinski at Bulls Barbecue down at Citizens Bank Park. And I said, hey, I just want you to know, I was here the day that you hit the Grand Slam, and that was the only time I've ever seen one. He goes, that's all right, that's the only time I ever hit one.
There you go. I want to get into something right off the top, and that is with the college football playoff. I know you sent your memo, it's fine. The college football playoff. Should I get into your memo first?
No. I didn't have the college football playoff on my memo because you usually don't like talking about it. So please, I'm interested.
I realize that they're doing this as a TV show, but what an incredible waste of money every single week flying all of those people in to sit in a room. You can't do this on Skype. You can't do it on a conference call. Really? Really? It's 2015. Why does everybody have to fly in, which costs money, get rooms, and obviously not a condo when they're not doubling up, okay? Food and everything that goes with it for a couple of days to do this when you're talking about four teams, and not only that, it has absolutely no meaning whatsoever. This is not a case, as they have proven over and over again, this is not a case where they sit there. And if you win, you're one of the four teams. If you win, you're in. Oh, no. Last year, as they showed, that if you win, it doesn't necessarily mean you are in. TCU won at the end, fell from third to fifth. They won. Not only that, they won big. They won impressively. The end didn't matter. Ohio State down the stretch was able to win their games, including Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. They got in. So they've already proven that if you just keep winning, if you're one of the four teams, it doesn't mean anything. It's all about perception and how tough your schedule happened to be and where you are at the time. They've already proven that as a committee. So last night's poll meant nothing. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Nada. Doesn't matter if Notre Dame's one of the four. They can win out, not make it. Simple as that. Clemson could win out, not make it. They've already shown that. TCU is a perfect example. One out. Fell from third to fifth. So why do they need to sit there and meet in person for the purpose of the television show? Why? Because the poll means nothing. Why waste all the money? Now, when it comes to the last one, yes, you should get there on Friday, December 4th, really get some preliminary work done. Then on the 5th, take a long look at the championship games, null over what that actually means to what you're doing to your Final Four. And then on the 6th, obviously, the important business of selecting and seeding. All right, you absolutely have to meet face-to-face over that. You need to meet face-to-face to do this? You need to waste all that money to do this? And it is an absolute waste of money, what they're doing right now. You can teleconference, you can Skype. There's all sorts of things you can do these days. And I find what they're doing is, while promoting the championship playoff, which is fine, I find they're also doing a terrible job of showing everybody that, you know, instead of pouring the money into the student athletes, we're going to waste it on things like this. Even though it's marginal, even though it's symbolic, you have to have a little more fiscal responsibility than this. Turning into a TV show to promote it, this, that, you can still have the TV show. The only one they ever have on the show is Jeff Long. Do you ever see any of the other 11 committee members on? It's always Jeff Long. Show's always the same. Reese Davis. Hey, I'm hosting it. Hey, Kirk, what do you think? Kirk tells you what he thinks. Let's bring in Jeff Long. We have questions. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, show's over.
Just an opportunity to see Larry Culpepper more often.
But I'm saying, though, I mean, look, it's a show, but do you need to have all 12 people face-to-face in a room to do it every week for 6 weeks? That's insane. The NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament Selection Committee, I think they meet once during the, physically in Indianapolis, maybe in February, to go over logistics. But they sit down in the room, and they get there, I don't know, I think they get there Wednesday or something like that, and start going over what to do. Well, they have to select 37 teams. 31 are handed to them as at-large bids. But you have to sit there, or 31 are handed to you as automatic bids. You have 37 at-large bids. You have to sit there, and you have to make the 37 selections. Then you have to seed them. Then you have to put them into pods. Then you have to put them into regions. Now, it's a pretty extensive thing. You have 68 teams. These people have four, and the sites are already determined for them. There are two stadiums. Who do we want to put into the Cotton Bowl, and who do we want to put in the Orange Bowl? We're done. Yeah, the New Year's Six, whatever, okay? But, I mean, the New Year's Six like is like selecting the NIT. It's nice, but not one of those teams, not one of those 12 teams is going to go anywhere. It's part of the New Year's Six. It's four teams. It comes down to four teams. That's what it comes down to. They have to select four, not 68. They have to select four. Oh, gee, and how long does it take to seed them? Oh, I don't know. You're just creating matchups anyway. Does it really matter if you're a one seed or a two seed? Depends on the matchup. But that's all it is. That's all it is. Let's not make this more complicated than it really is. And I don't like the image of wasting money. I just don't like the image of it. And that's all this is a waste of money. Now, how much money are they spending and wasting? Obviously, in the big picture, not that much. But symbolically, they're wasting money. We're going to bring all 12 people in. We're going to all sit down with our computers. We're going to make sure that they got a picture in the room of everybody in the room working diligently to figure out on November the 17th exactly who the four teams are. where it really is irrelevant who the four teams are on November 17th. Ohio State was never in the four until the last one. You'd be stunned. Now that's the only important one. I realize it builds interest. I realize it gets people pumped up about it. It's a conversation piece. It's a conversation piece I avoid because I think it is that irrelevant. I don't sit there and talk about the four teams in the college football playoff. I don't care. Okay, you got to be smarter. Now, when we get to the Thanksgiving weekend, right? After Thanksgiving weekend, the college football playoff talk will dominate the show because then it becomes a relevant slice of conversation. Today, it's not relevant because here's the interesting part, and I pointed this out already a couple times during this monologue. This is not a case of, on November 17th, these are the four teams. And if these four teams all win out, they're in. No, that's not the case. That is not the case. TCU was in last year, and at the end, they weren't. And you know what? You know all the terrible things they did down the stretch? They won, won. But they didn't play in the Big 12 championship game. Now here's the next part. Last year, I made a big deal out of the fact that Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, and Ohio State all had to clear a 13th hurdle to get there, that if they lost their conference championship games, they would be out, and that Baylor and TCU did not have that hurdle, and I thought that was significant as to how I thought it would play out. That's why I was adamant that week that Ohio State, if they won, would be in. Because you have to clear the 13th hurdle, the other guy has to clear 12. Where's the hue and cry at the moment about Notre Dame? Notre Dame's the kid. They don't play in a conference championship game. They don't play in a conference. Are they going to be held to the same standard as TCU and Baylor? They should. What's Notre Dame's most impressive win of the year? Pitt? USC, maybe? We got another big one coming up this weekend. Boston College is not playing well this year. They're going to play BC at Fenway Park. They still have to play Stanford. But in reality, how impressive at this moment is a win over Stanford? They've lost twice. And to be frank with you, what about Alabama? Look what they did to LSU. LSU's lost twice. How good is LSU? It's interesting to see how this is playing out. But will Notre Dame be held to the same standard as TCU and Baylor because they don't play in a championship game the final weekend of the year? They will play 12 games. They do not have to clear a 13th hurdle. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When is the right time to start talking about the holidays?
It's now.
Because the holidays are on us at Sunbury Motors Kia. I want to see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia can't wait any longer to get into full holiday mode. And you'll feel the same with Kia's Holidays on Us sales event. No payments until April. You heard right. April. Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months on 2015 Optimas and 2016 Serenos, Fortes, Sportages, and Souls. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So you can afford that Thanksgiving feast, overspend on presents for the family, and still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia with 0% financing and Sunbury Motors' incredible pricing. You'll get low payments and not even have to make one until April. The holidays are on us at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
More Kia is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Bob Flounders today, Patriot News, PennLive.com. Now the Kevin Herr topics of the day. Joe Madden Manager of the Year. Did he have a good start with the players in Chicago, or does he have something to do with making teams better? Okay. Number one, Joe Madden does a very good job of understanding how to manage the bullpen. Managing a bullpen is really the biggest job any Major League Baseball or minor league baseball manager has. You got to be able to manage your bullpen. You got to be able to get a sense when your starter's done, and you got to be able to handle the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings in such a way effectively. Understand matchups, who should be out there, who shouldn't be out there. And the other part is managing a roster for a full season and not throwing everything into one game. He does a good job of keeping everyone on the bench engaged because they're all going to get a chance to get in there, you know, 90 to 100 games during the course of the year and feel like they're major contributors with what's going on. He also has a different way of handling his pitcher in the batting order. Batting the pitcher ninth, or batting the pitcher eighth, and having a position player bat ninth. That way he's turning the order around just a bit and doing it in a different way. So he does a good job. Kevin McHale fired. Is it too early to fire anybody in the NBA? It's the NBA. It's irrelevant.
It just seems early.
That doesn't matter. It's just, you're talking about an analytics guy versus a basketball guy. The analytics guy's the GM. He fired him. Okay? You know, you got to be able to balance analytics with reality. All right? Analytics tell a really good story. You then go out and you pop in a tape, and you then see how well the analytics match up with the tape. You got to have a combination of the two. The Rockets are a huge analytics kind of thing. I mean, McHale got them to the Western Conference Final last year before they lost to Golden State. Right. Suddenly out of nowhere, he forgot how to coach. Suddenly out of nowhere, he lost the team. Yeah, please. This is, remember, the Sixers hired their analytics guy from the Rockets. How are things going? I mean, really, how are things going? Last but not least, the NHL is trying to spice up the All-Star game. What are your thoughts? East versus West, 20-minute period.
Oh, it's a three, blah, blah, but it's blah, a three-on-three. Yeah. Three. It's a three-on-three Kevin. Tournament.
Kevin. No.
I that's my point. This is probably the dumbest idea I've heard yet.
Every All-Star game should be abolished. There was a purpose for All-Star games when I was growing up because we never got a chance to see guys play. You know, first time all summer you get a chance in New England to see Roberto Clemente play. First time all summer you got a chance to watch Steve Carlton pitch. We didn't have ESPN when I was growing up. Now you see all these players all the time. Okay, if you want to get a break in the middle of the season, get a break in the middle of the season. But the All-Star game does nothing. Major League Baseball, the Pro Bowl, NBA, NHL, they're meaningless exhibition games. And I don't want to hear anybody from Major League Baseball, oh no, we determine home field in the World Series. Whoop-dee-doo. Okay? If it really means that much, all right, if it means that much, why is it Matt Harvey going seven innings for the National League? Hey, we need to get home field for the World Series. Clayton Kershaw's got the ball. He's got the opening seven. Well, what do you mean you took out Xander Bogaerts?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, where Kevin is proudly driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle.
Yeah, this time we're featuring the 2016 Kia Soul that is perfect for the nice Penn State fan. It has a white top and a navy blue exterior. The interior is leather in black that has an insert, is the best way to put it, of a pigskin brown. That's the best way to put it. I tell you what, you have to see this. We're going to try and do a Periscope video of it tomorrow, so you'll be able to check it out at Kevin Herr. Or better yet, stop by on Friday and see it in person. Because if you sign the paperwork in the month of November, that particular vehicle,
along with several other 15 and 16 models, are available for 0% financing for 66 months. Plus, you won't make a payment until April, because you'll get 3 months without payments, and then Kia will make the next two payments. Free money, no payments till April. Save all your money for Christmas and for the holiday season. Be in a brand new vehicle, and with the Kia Soul especially, enjoy up to 30 miles to the gallon around town. That's at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 of 15, Hummel's Wharf. You're going to enjoy this as much as I will, I guarantee it.
Sounds terrific. All right. And again, always remember, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, let's get to this day in sports history. 1943, Phillies president William Cox was banned from baseball for betting on his own team. 1949, Jackie Robinson was named the National League Most Valuable Player. And 1966, Sandy Koufax announced his retirement from Major League Baseball. He's only 30 years old at the time. It's also on this date, 1990, the 49ers beat the Giants. Both teams were 10-0 entering the game. Eventually, the Giants got revenge and beat the Niners in the NFC Championship game in San Francisco, 15-13, as former Nittany Lion Chris Barr kicked five field goals in the game. And in 1997, the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, now known as the Tampa Bay Rays, but the Tampa Bay Devil Rays participated in the initial expansion draft, where stunningly they got nobody. That's this date in sports history. Now we bring in Bob Flounders, PennLive.com, Patriot News. Bob, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Steve, it's great to be back. By the way, talking about that Giants season, I covered them for the Eastern PA paper. I actually went then. I wasn't at the Niners game, but I was at the Super Bowl in Tampa when they beat the Bills. To this day, one of the greatest games I've ever seen, considering the way it played out.
Yeah, Otis Anderson, great game. Jeff Hostetler, Bruce Smith got a sack for a safety. Norwood missed the field goal. That was a wild game. Wow.
Mark Ingram yes. caught a pass on that play, in that game. I swear he broke nine tackles to get a first down, and that really was one of the plays that really swung it the Giants' way. But what a great game, great atmosphere, and just really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. We were talking before you were on the show about the fact that the College Football Playoff Committee met in person again last night, all 12 in the same room, to null out the top four selections. And I said, what an incredible waste of money. This doesn't really matter anyway. Why don't you do it on Skype or on teleconference? And then obviously, you got to meet at the end. I mean, that you got to meet for probably 3 days at the end. But why the waste of money?
Yeah, I don't really know what the thought process is there. I think it's just, I don't know, are they just doing all this stuff, Steve, to drive the ratings for the TV show and kind of just milk this along, because there's a lot of college football fans whose teams aren't doing that well, and they're more curious about the playoffs. And it's become like a made-for-TV deal, right. And I think that that's kind of what you're seeing, how it play out. You're right. I mean, they could do it. They could do it on a conference call if they had to. They could do it any which way. And I'm just going to be curious to see who the final four are at the end.
Last year, TCU and Baylor were on the outside looking in. And part of the complaint, and I pointed this out on my show, is that, look, how do you look at Alabama, Ohio State, Oregon, Florida State, and they have to play a 13th game, but they play 12. Doesn't this same argument fall for Notre Dame?
It does. I think it certainly does. Although Notre Dame is Notre Dame, and they do play a pretty – I think that their schedule really helps them out in the long run, not that – you know, TCU and the Baylors. I just don't think with some of the games that they schedule, that I don't think that they really help themselves. I have no idea why. Yeah, I know eventually they're going to have to go to a conference championship game, don't they, at some point, or are they just going to not want to be in the playoffs?
Well, I think the Big 12 will want to, but again, Notre Dame doesn't fall into that category.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think in a couple of years, Steve, could we be talking about Notre Dame maybe in a conference somewhere?
I think at some point that has to happen because you need to level the playing field if you're going to do this.
Yeah, and it could. The conference could very well be a conference both you and I are well familiar with. Who knows?
Right, and they're the one conference that actually looked at them and said you're either all in or all out. And it turned out they said all out, and they've been able to craft deals with the Big East and obviously with the ACC to do it the way they want. All right, Penn State, Michigan, bye week. What did you think when you listened to James Franklin? You've talked to some players along the way. What kind of good did the bye week do for this team?
I just remember, Steve, after the Northwestern game, Brandon Bell, such a tough loss. Brandon Bell met with the press. He had, I thought, a really, really, really good game, obviously, to look at the stat sheet. Just a really good game, one of his best. And he was asked, you know, what do you want to accomplish on the bye week? And he said, we have to get healthy. I think the 10 straight weeks took a lot out of Penn State, and it showed up in their last couple of games, obviously, especially the Northwestern game. I think some guys have really been dealing with some issues, and I think that, you know, for the sake of Saturday's game, I hope that some Penn State players got rested. I know that Brandon, I think, was a little bit more beat up than I think people realized that the season went on. They lose Jordan Lucas. That's obviously a pretty big deal, but I don't know that, you know, the way that Penn State's constructed and with the issues that they have on the offensive line. Some fans have been asking me about some surprise wrinkles. I think you're going to see the Penn State team largely that you've seen. I don't know that there's a lot of tweaking and adjusting that can be done. Penn State has a lot of room for improvement, though. You know, they just need to clean up their act in some key spots. I mean, they got to not kill themselves on special teams. You know, they got to be able to run their 4-minute offense. You know, when they have an interception in their hands, they got to be able to catch the ball. It's amazing when you do the little things right and you tackle well, you know, everything kind of takes care, you know, of itself. I just think they need to, hopefully a couple of those guys are a little bit, you know, a little bit healthier. And I think Saturday is going to be a real interesting game.
I've always been a big believer that styles mean something. Is the way Michigan plays offense fit how Penn State plays defense?
Boy, I mean, Michigan's. I've been a little bit impressed, actually, with the way that Michigan has been able.
Me too.
To find. Well, I'm just talking about, you know, the way that they've been able to win tight games lately. That it may not look good, but those guys found a way to make plays on the road, and they're doing it with some guys banged up. I know that defensive lineman's out for them, and they've kind of morphed into. They've gone from this really, really, you know, top-notch defensive team. They're not quite that good defensively anymore because of circumstances, and they're finding a way to make plays on offense. But as far as the matchup, yeah, I do think it's going to be real interesting. I want to see how Penn State is able to kind of manage the secondary with Jordan out. You know, Carl Nassib did not finish the Northwestern game. I thought that was a big deal in the Northwestern game, obviously. You know, James doesn't like to talk about injuries, identify them. You know, I want to see him at full strength on the field Saturday. But it's definitely a style matchup, and I want to see how Penn State can cover against this Michigan team that's got a pretty good offensive line that can pass protect. And Ruddock has gotten better under Jim Harbaugh's tutelage as the season's gone on. And he's got some pretty good weapons that I think that may not be household names, but they're good players.
No, I agree. I think Darbo's a good player. Jake Butt's really good. I think Chesson's really good. And
sure.
The running game is no better than good. It's good, but not great. Defensively, they had the 3 shutouts in a row, which was really impressive.
Yes.
At one point of the first 88 possessions against them, 44 were 3 and outs. Wow.
Yeah.
Of the last 39, only 6 have been 3 and outs. People have actually scored a little bit on them of late. What are your thoughts on that defense?
Well, I think they're hurting up front. I think Jimmy even talked about it. Harbaugh talked about it after they survived the Indiana game. They're talking about moving some people around. I think they have some really good players in the secondary. Jabril Preppers is going to be, by the time he's done at Michigan, one of their best players. I think he's a safety that they'll actually use on offense. I think Joe Bolden is a linebacker. I believe that's his name. He's a very good player for them. They have a good Jordan Lewis. I think is the name of the guy, the cover corner that they have. So
he's outstanding.
You look at the you're talking about the matchup, and to me, I think they have some players that could kind of maybe limit what a guy like Chris Godwin can do, but on the other side of it is that they're beat up front, so that helps Penn State's offensive line. And I do think I am of the opinion that when Saquon Barkley is right, I don't think there's a lot that you can do defensively stop him if he gets out in the open field. I know that Penn State's offensive line is not elite, but I still go back to what he was able to do at Ohio State. That was a pretty athletic defense that he tore up, and he actually had a long touchdown run called back. The way I look at this, I think it's going to be a super tight game. I do, and I do think there's a chance that Saquon Barkley can really impact this game and be a real difference maker, because I think Godwin might struggle a little bit against the secondary.
Yeah, and their secondary has played really well this year. I mean, without question. What kind of ABC is going to make this a national at noon? We had to wait till Sunday to find out.
Yeah.
And then Ohio State, Michigan State at 3:30, also a national. These are not regional games. These are nationals.
Yeah.
What kind of showcase day is this for the Big Ten?
I think it's a big showcase day. And I had to make a pick for the Penn State Michigan game. Everyone's kind of assuming that even though Michigan beat Indiana, found a way, that they're kind of just putting them into the game against Ohio State with a chance to ruin Ohio State's season and maybe make some noise as a two-loss team in the postseason. But I just don't think this is a given for Michigan at all. I think this is a great opportunity for Penn State to me. I think they're sitting in a very good spot coming off the bye. Michigan's playing Ohio State a week later. They have some issues that have surfaced. Michigan does. No matter what James Franklin wants to say at his press conference, they do not. They have not had a signature win since he's been here, in my opinion. And they're playing the number 14 team in the country. That it's a well-coached team. They got the home crowd behind them. I think this is a great opportunity for them to win a game against a really good team.
Regardless of hour of day, you've sat there and you've seen all the whiteout games here at Penn State.
Sure.
To you, as you observe it, I mean, what do you think when you see something like that?
When I see something like that, I think that if I was a talented high school player, football player, I would want to come to Penn State. I just think it's a special atmosphere. It's so unique. And you can just sense the energy, and you can sense the team feeding off the energy of the crowd. I'm a little curious with the noon start. Maybe it might take the place a little while to get going, Steve, because that is an early start for something like the whiteout, and it's not quite the same, in the light of day when you're in all white. But I just think it's a great, great experience, not only for the players, but for the fans and the students. And I can't think of any more experiences, game day experiences that are better nationally than when Penn State's fan base is geared up for a whiteout and a good team's coming in. And usually the games are really, really good.
On a personal, professional note, what's the part that drives you in your job right now, Bob? And what's the part that's made the job these days tougher?
I think we talked about it a little bit earlier. The toughest part is just that it's just the news cycle has shrunk. It's not a once
right.
a day
sure.
news cycle. It's pretty much, it's not 24/7, but it's you're constantly on a daily basis looking for fresh angles or different angles or creative ways to tell the story of the season. Whereas 10 years ago, you had to have your story, all your stuff done by 11:30 at night. You put the paper to bed, and then you had a whole other day, a whole new day to get geared up for the next day's news cycle. Now it's just, it's pretty consistent. It's pretty ongoing, and it's actually pretty energizing because it kind of forces you to look at your job in a lot of different ways, and trying to be more creative in trying to tell the story. I think it's been an adjustment for everyone. But what keeps me going is I just this late in the season, I think Penn State, you know, they've had some disappointments this year. They've let some opportunities slip away, but they have two great opportunities to really put a stamp on this season and make it a really good one. I think that they definitely have a shot to beat Michigan, a solid shot. And even Michigan State, I think there's going to be some opportunities. I think it's been a real neat season to follow Penn State, to cover Penn State, because you've had a lot of different players step up that no one really thought were going to be huge factors at the start of the year. Nassib would be one. This guy is on every list of every award, and I just don't think that was really the expectation to start. And to get a chance to watch Saquon Barkley perform like he has, you know, and just really embrace the moment. The moment's not too big for him. It's like he's out in the high school game again. He's that talented. Those have been really neat storylines. Chris Godwin's emergence has been a neat storyline. And I just think that, you know, Penn State's there's some meat still on the bone for Penn State this season. And I think if they can get one or two of these last two games, what the impact that it's going to have in the short term and the long term for the program, for recruiting, for a better bowl game, I really think they have a great opportunity to kind of not rewrite the script of the season, but really alter it, you know, in a positive way. And it really starts Saturday. I do think they have a tremendous chance to win this game.
Nassib told a really great story today. He said he finally got in the game against Syracuse at the Meadowlands and to start the 2013 season. He gets in there and he goes flying off the edge. And he said, I got there and I whiffed. He says, I'm thinking to myself, that's it. They're taking me out. I looked at him and said, well, you're not whiffing anymore. So
He has just been wow. I mean, what he's been able to do, just a testament to the guy's work ethic, the never say die attitude. I mean, you know, for a player to wait till his fifth year in college to make an impact and make this kind of impact, it really doesn't happen that often anymore. It's really a unique season. I don't know that we'll ever see another season like Carl Nassib's when you consider where he came from to where he's gotten with the way that James Franklin wants to recruit, and I think you're going to see improved recruiting classes the next couple of years. There's just not going to be a lot of opportunity, I think, for walk-ons to be in Carl's position and talk about seizing and embracing the moment. I mean, I think he might be the last of his kind at Penn State.
Great point. Bob, always enjoyable. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Okay, Steve, take care.
Bob Flounders, PennLive.com, Patriot News. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.